So after several weeks now, we come to the very end of James' letter. In this letter, he has been very specific and straightforward with us. He has encouraged us to be good listeners. He also insisted that we resist the urge to give negative labels to people. He taught us to speak only positive words. And last week, we discussed how important it is for us to submit ourselves to God. Well, now, as we come to the very end of this letter, his final words are significant here. James says at the very end of this letter what is of the utmost importance to him. His overall concern here is that we should be dependent upon God. Now, in the words we just read, James does not mention the word dependent. He doesn't write that word, but we know that as we listen to his words, here's what he's saying to us. The only way you can accomplish all the other things we talked about, from speaking positively to not labeling people to submitting ourselves to God, the only way we can do those things is if we are dependent upon God. Here's his final message. Your ultimate dependency in life is on God. It is not on yourself. It is not on society. It is not on the world around you. It is not on anyone else who may be in your life. Your ultimate dependency in life is to be on God. Now, that sounds good, and none of us here this morning would disagree with that message. We would all find ourselves agreeing with James here. So that's not the question. The question is how? You see, I think we don't really just need the message that we should depend upon God more. We know that to be the case. But how are we to do that? What are some practical ways that we can work on depending upon God more in our lives? Well, here's the greatest news of our passage for today. James doesn't just tell us to depend upon God. He tells us how we are to do it. This morning, I would suggest to you that if you want to trust God more, if you want to rely upon God more in your life, if you want to depend upon God more, then listen to what James says. He gives us three very practical things we should do in our lives so that we would depend upon God more. And here's my question for you this morning. As you listen to these three things, which one do you need to work on the most? How do we depend upon God? Here's where James starts, verses 13 through 18. Prayer. James believes the most direct way that we would grow in our relationship and our dependency upon God is through prayer. James writes here about prayer. More than anything else, it is the topic that dominates these final verses of Scripture. And here James very carefully describes the kind of prayer he's talking about. James is not referring to a few quick sentences we say before we eat a meal. James is not talking about a few words we say before we go to sleep at night. He's not talking about us offering a list of our wants, our demands, or needs to God. What James is talking about in prayer is an ongoing conversation in our lives with God. James says, if you read his words and you think about what he's talking about, in every circumstance of life, what should we do? To depend upon God, we should pray. His words here are very similar to Paul when Paul writes and says, we should pray without ceasing. In other words, the goal of the life of the Christian is to be in a constant, ongoing conversation with God about everything and anything. I read this week, one person said that for Christians, prayer can be like breathing. You don't have to think about breathing. It's just something that we do. It's a natural part of who we are. I read that the atmosphere around us exerts pressure on our lungs, and it actually propels us to breathe. That's why it's more difficult to hold your breath than it actually is to breathe, because breathing is just a natural thing we do. James says for the Christian, that's how prayer should be. And unfortunately, what we know from what James says is that sometimes what happens for the Christian is that we hold our spiritual breaths. In other words, what we find ourselves doing is we go for long periods of time without actually talking to God, without communicating, and it's like we're holding our breath. And sometimes we find ourselves in our life wondering, why is it that I don't feel close to God? Or why is it that in my spiritual life I seem to be struggling? Or why is it that I don't feel as healthy spiritually as I want to? And sometimes it's because we're holding our breath spiritually. Can you imagine trying to live your physical life only breathing very short periods of time and for the rest of the time holding our breath? James says it's the same in our spiritual life. As Christians, we should be in a continual, ongoing, constant conversation with God. Well, someone may ask, well, how does prayer really help us then to depend upon God? We know it's important, but how does it help us grow in our relationship and our dependency upon God? Well, there's a couple of ways to think about that. One, sometimes our prayer can actually change the circumstances and the situations of our lives. In other words, our prayer makes a difference in the outcome of the events of our lives. That's why James talks about Elijah in this passage. When James refers to Elijah, here's what he says. Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and for 3.5 years, it did not rain because Elijah prayed that it would not rain. But then, after 3.5 years, Elijah prayed that it would rain, and then it did rain. In other words, the circumstances and the situations of his life responded to his prayer. And we know in our lives, sometimes our prayers cause the miraculous to happen. What we ask for and desire actually happens. Prayer is powerful. And there are times in our lives when our prayer changes the circumstances of our lives. And when that happens, we learn to depend upon God more and more through the act of prayer. But honestly, that's the easy answer. Of course, we will depend upon God when we get our way. Of course, when we pray for something and we get it, it's easy to trust in God. It's easy to rely upon God. But what happens in those circumstances in our lives when our prayers are not answered the way we would like, or what happens when we pray for days and weeks and months and even years and nothing changes? Debbie Presbylski wrote a prayer that I read this week about depending upon God during these times in our lives. And she entitled her prayer, A Prayer for Trusting God in Hard Times. See if her words resonate with your experience. She prays, Lord, I thank you that you are the God of the impossible. You can do anything. And I want to trust in your ability and not in my own. Teach me to see the difficulties of my life from your perspective. My responsibility, she prays, is to carefully read, to trust, and to obey your word. So today, Lord, I bring before you this particular difficulty in my life. Help me not to fear, but to trust you in this situation. I declare my faith in your ability to fulfill your promises to me. You will fight for me. Lord, you will win the battles in my life. You are mighty and powerful and righteous and true. So God, I know I have nothing to fear when you are at my side. I will be strong and courageous even in the hard times. I will not be terrified or discouraged, for you are with me wherever I go. You will never leave me nor forsake me. I do not need to figure everything out. You already know the best plan for my life, so teach me how to walk by faith. I choose to have faith in your ability to break through every obstacle in my life. What a beautiful, powerful prayer. And it reminds us, even in times of life when things are not going the way we want, that prayer gives us strength. Prayer reminds us of who God is. And James says, whatever your experience, pray. Carry on an ongoing conversation with God, and you will learn more and more every day to depend upon God in every situation of your life. Pray. Number two, confess your sin. After prayer, what are we to do? James says, confess your sins. In our better moments, we all know that we are guilty of sin. We fall short of God's glory. But in much of our lives, maybe we are not as aware of our sin as we need to be. There are times when we look at others and we recognize how they fall short and how their sin is a part of their spiritual life. And maybe it's easy when we thank God that we are not doing what they are doing to start to feel good about ourselves and not look at our own sin. I read a quote this week. It was, for me, a profound quote that stuck with me. It says these words: when we feel most comfortable about our lives, we are farthest away from God. When we feel most comfortable about our lives, we are farthest away from God. And here's how I understand that quote. When we come nearer to God, the more we are aware of our own sin. You remember what happened to Isaiah in chapter 6. It was several chapters before chapter 40 that we read earlier in our service. But when Isaiah first comes into the presence of God, you remember what he says? The first words out of his mouth are these: woe to me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. In other words, when he came into God's presence, the first thing he was aware of was how sinful he was. When we come into God's presence, we know we are sinners. We can give nothing to God to atone for even one of our failures. We can give no sacrifice. We can offer no gift. We can do nothing that will bring us back into a right relationship with God. So James says our only hope is confession. Confession of our sin before God and asking for forgiveness. And you see, we remember this morning, confession is more than simply recognizing our sin. Confession is more than just feeling a sense of regret about something we've done or something that we did not do. Confession is the admission that we have gone against God's will and the commitment that with God's help, we will refrain from such sin in the future. You see, confession is really about repentance. The Greek word literally means to turn around and completely change direction. The Greek word means I am walking this way, but when I confess, when I repent, I am turning around 180 degrees and I'm walking back a different way. Without confession, what happens is this sin builds up in our lives and it builds a wall between us and God. And anytime there is that kind of wall that is built up in a relationship, it's more and more difficult to depend upon the other person. James says, do you want to depend upon God more? Then pray and follow that by confessing your sins. Then finally, James talks about restoration. In the last two verses of this letter, James closes with an appeal for his readers to be instruments of God's grace, restoring other people to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, James knows it's easy for all of us as Christians to fall into sin. James knows that in our lives there are times when we fall out of a right relationship with God. It happens. And when those things happen, it's hard for the person, himself or herself, to get things right again. So James says part of our Christian responsibility is that we are called upon to serve as God's agents of love and grace and helping people to find their way back to God. James reminds us that part of our calling is to help others who need to come back to God. For whatever reason that they have fallen away, they need to be brought back to wholeness. So this morning I ask you, who do you know that has fallen away? Who comes to mind for you this morning when you think about someone who used to be faithful, who was committed and dedicated in his or her walk with Christ and used to come to church and was involved, but now is not. What James is saying and what he wants us to know is, if we want to depend upon God more, then try serving someone else. Try reaching out to that person to bring them back into fellowship with the church and with God. When we try to help another person, James says we will be pushed toward more and more dependency with God. You see, it is so easy to follow in the ways of the world and condemn and criticize and judge. It is much more difficult for us to follow the way of Christ and to offer love and grace and compassion. Have you ever wondered why groups like AA or Narcotics Anonymous do such a good job in helping someone not only overcome addictions, but also restore their life to a sense of wholeness? Have you ever wondered why groups like these groups sometimes become family for the participants? They become their place of fellowship. They become even their church. Well, one of the reasons is because those groups often do a much better job than the church of accepting people without judgment, of listening to their confessions, of loving them back to wholeness. James says, we are called as Christians and as the body of Christ to be instruments of God's grace, helping people to come back to wholeness in Christ. Isn't that who we want to be as a church? Haven't we talked about that, saying our mission is to make sure that no one misses the grace of Christ? That kind of commitment requires love and forgiveness on our part. It is not about judgment. It's not about criticism. We're challenged to always subject ourselves to the realization that we are always in the same danger ourselves as our brother or sister. And we need to see other people the same way that God sees them and allow ourselves to be used in assisting other people to wholeness. We are to be instruments of God's grace and love and compassionate and mercy. And as we serve others, James says, it is then that we learn to depend more and more on God. So in his final words here in this letter, James says, here's how you depend upon God: prayer, confession, and service to others. This morning, which one of those needs to be strengthened in your life? We're reminded from Isaiah chapter 40 that the more we depend upon God, here's what happens in our lives. We find that our experience of trusting God and rely upon God makes us have this experience of life where we soar on wings like eagles. We run and find ourselves not being weary. We walk and we are not faint. How does that happen? It is through faith and dependence upon God. For remember, even Jesus himself one day was talking to his disciples, and here's what he said. Jesus himself looked at his disciples and he said, by myself, I can do nothing. Now this morning, if we realize that Jesus said he must rely upon God and depend upon God to live the kind of life God wanted him to live, if that is the case for Jesus, then this morning, how much more true is it for each one of us? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this day we are thankful and we are grateful that your word reminds us of how much we need to trust in you and to depend upon you. So, Lord, this day help us to commit ourselves to prayer and to confession and to restoration of our fellow brother and sister, so that we might grow each and every day in our walk of faith and our dependency upon you. Lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.